Welcome to the broadcast from Broadstone. This time I'm joined by my colleague Erica Parker. Erica is an actuary in the insurance, regulatory and risk team. And this time we'll be talking about funeral plans. Welcome, Erica.
Oh, thank you very much. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you along. Thank you. So should we start for our listeners? First of all, what is a funeral plan?
Well, that's an interesting question. There are 1.5 million people in the UK who have a funeral plan. So it is more popular than people might think. But these people who have a funeral plan have already paid for their funerals while they're still alive. So when the time comes, there's just one little phone call for their beneficiaries to make, their loved ones, and things like the collection of the remains, the choice of the funeral director, all of that is sorted and taken care of. There's quite a range of funeral plans on the market. They tend to have names like gold and silver and things like that. The least expensive option is becoming pretty popular. It's direct cremation. So the cremation itself doesn't have any attendees, and the ashes are delivered to the beneficiaries. And then the most expensive would be the gold standard, really high quality coffin, big procession, lots of attendees for the burial, an officiant, maybe two limousines, that sort of a thing.
So I guess it's very similar to most things that we're used to buying, like car insurance and house insurance, travel insurance. You can choose different levels of cover, different levels of service, and exactly the same with sort of traditional funerals, where we're used to going to a funeral director and planning what's going to happen. But here, it's all prepaid.
Yeah, that's right, and it is insurance. So it's another way besides using wills for the wishes of the deceased to be made clear to everyone what they would like to happen in their, maybe celebration of life. All of that is essentially covered.
Which is very helpful at a usually quite disturbing and upsetting time for people to have a little bit of certainty about what the deceased actually wanted, and to take away some of the sort of hassle, the emotional effect of having to deal with a funeral.
Yeah, I mean, people can just get on with the process of grieving, can't they? And as well, there's the financial aspect. Who knows how much funeral costs will be inflating in the future, and it's just sorted. It doesn't need worrying about financially.
No, exactly, exactly. So, Erica, why are funeral plans sort of more interesting now?
Well, since July 2022, funeral plans have been regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. So that means that funeral plans have to prove that they're financially sound and people can be confident in leaving their money with them at the time that they buy the plan. So maybe if consumers were wary of buying a funeral plan, they were kind of interested, but were worried about how safe their money would be. So now they can be really confident. And even in the unlikely event of an insolvency, we now have the Financial Services Compensation Scheme covering funeral plans as well. So it still is an interesting time, though, because at the time the FCA started regulating, funeral plans covering about 13% of funeral plan holders decided not to become authorized by the FCA and to transfer to one of the other bigger providers. Maybe it was just too expensive to become authorized, or the FCA did not approve their authorization application. So, but fortunately, some of the bigger providers like Co-op and Dignity, they did step in and provide favorable terms to those who were affected so that they could buy a plan at a less expensive rate.
Well, that's really good to hear that one providers stepped in to help people, but also that now it is regulated, because I can imagine prior to regulation, it would have been rather like the Wild West. I mean, anyone, I guess, could set up and start these companies without any real guarantee that the service would be provided at the time that it was required.
Yeah, so funeral plan providers were self-regulating, and a lot of them voluntarily signed up to the Funeral Planning Authority. And signed up to say, yes, I am adhering to the regulations and guidance that they want us to abide by. And they could put that on their website saying, I'm adhering to these. But again, it wasn't, you know, you didn't have the financial services compensation scheme backing that up. You didn't have the FCA asking lots of nosy questions. So yeah, that's it's a bit more certain now.
Well, that's really good to hear. Because I mean, as you said earlier, it's an insurance. It's a financial product. So if people are handing over their money expecting something to happen, it's only right that someone's making sure that does happen.
Yeah. And then I think another interesting thing that's happening right now in funeral plans is the trend towards direct cremation, which started during lockdown and it's just been continuing ever since. The big reason for it probably is the lower price. That's really attractive to people. But, you know, there's also the freedom to have your celebration of life at a place and time that's unique to their needs and wishes.
No, that's wonderful to hear, and of course really important when people have their own wishes, places that mean something to them, that family can gather and I mean, if they were minded to go back year on year just to remember the deceased. So yeah, that's really good to hear. I'm intrigued though, Erica. You're an actuary and you're providing services to funeral plans. What exactly do you do as an actuary? What's the role?
Well, I provide the solvency assessment report, which is the evidence that folks will want to see to say, yes, we are financially sound. We are able to pay for these funerals when they become due. And this is a requirement for the funeral plans that are trust-backed. So some funeral plans are backed by life insurance policies, like over 50s. But for the trust-backed providers, they need to publish the SAR on their website, the Solvency Assessment Report. So I write those for some funeral plan providers. And then as well, I've been providing advice outside of that. So for example, if a funeral plan provider wants to revise their prices or launch a new product, direct cremation is quite popular. More providers are wanting to get into that. And I can provide advice about what price would protect them against uncertain future funeral plan costs.
Well, that's really interesting, Erica. And you mentioned there were two types, as trust-based and sort of insurance life-based. Could you just explain to our listener what the difference in those two is, please?
Yes. So the trust-based plans, they have a pot of money that can't be used for any other purposes, and they invest directly in assets, well-diversified assets. Could be investment funds, and these are the funds that are used to pay for the funerals when they become due. Insurance-backed plans, they buy a life insurance policy in the name of the plan holder. It could be an over 50s policies, for example. And so when that person dies, the insurance policy pays out, and that is the vehicle used to fund the funeral itself.
Thanks for explaining that, Erica. That's really clear. What else do you do as a funeral plan actuary?
I coordinate with other funeral plan actuaries, and that's always really interesting. One of the things I've done is I've created a checklist so that we can make sure that we're complying with regulatory requirements and actuarial guidance from our profession, especially when writing the SARs.
Excellent. So it's good to hear that there's coordination going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, we're a good group of people, I think.
Splendid. Yeah, I'd agree. as with all of these industries, there's change and they develop and grow over time. So what do you think the future looks like for the funeral plan market?
I've been predicting for a little while that funeral plans will become more popular as people see how financially sound they are. It hasn't quite come to fruition yet, but I'm still sticking to that prediction. The types of funeral plans that are being sold are definitely simpler, and people really seem to like the direct cremation plans for sure. And there's been a lot in the news about water cremation. So for people who are environmentally conscious, this is something that they might want to listen to. Water cremation, they use water, heat, and alkali to dissolve the remains. And this is becoming quite popular. And I do wonder if funeral plans might start to cover this. And personally, I'm quite intrigued by a funeral plan that will send your ashes into outer space. I think that sounds really cool.
Well, I knew I asked about innovation, but I really didn't expect there to be innovation about dissolving remains in water, alkali, and heat and sending ashes into space. It sounds like a very interesting area to be working in, Erica.
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved space and, you know, as a child would have loved to have been an astronaut. So that can be my one way of getting to space finally.
Excellent. I'm sure that'll appeal to some of our listeners as well. Well, Erica, that's been absolutely fascinating. Thanks so much for your time today and explaining the wonderful world of funeral plans.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been my pleasure.
And thanks also to our listeners. If you do want to find out anything more about the work that Erica does around funeral plans, do get in touch with us. We'd be more than happy to answer any questions. But for now, thanks very much for listening, and we'll speak to you on the next edition of the broadcast. Thank you.